And good morning, and away we go on this Thursday, September the 26th, 2019, 16, coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. The month of September is almost over. This is the last Thursday of the month of September, and we're going to have a good time here this morning on the early program on WWGH Radio. Now, I got to tell you a quick story this morning. I don't know if you remember, but about a month ago, I was talking to you about my possessed garage door. Now, it's an interesting thing because the garage door does go up and down when I hit the button, when I leave in the morning or when I come home in the evening. But sometimes when it's just about at the bottom, it goes right back up. Or as I'm pulling away, it'll go right back up. Well, most people would say there's probably something blocking it, even though I have looked many times and I don't see anything there. Now, this morning it was kind of interesting because I've never had this issue to a big degree in the morning, but I was leaving this morning and I was actually driving down the road that I get on to come here to the radio station, or at least leave where I live, and I was just happened to look in the rear view mirror and the door had almost been to the bottom, the garage door, where it was going to shut, and it looked like it was going to shut, and then it went right back up. So, as I'm looking back, I see the door going back up, so I decide to back up, and I hit the button again, and the door starts to go down again, and it looks like it's almost going to shut, and then it stops and goes back up and does not shut. And then I thought, oh man, I'm going to have to get out of the car, so I pulled back in my driveway, and I hit the button one more time, and that time I watched it go all the way down to the ground. So at this particular point, I do believe that the garage door did shut, but to be honest with you, I would not put money on it at this point, because it might have flapped back up, even though I was watching it in my rearview mirror as I was driving away. I have doubts on if that garage door is shut, but let's all send good thoughts to the fact that the garage door stayed shut. Now, I thought maybe it had something to do with something being in the way of the sensor, or maybe something having fallen down there, or I thought maybe, you know, maybe even cobwebs can cause this problem. I don't know. But I looked at both of the sensors. There were no cobwebs. There was nothing laying in front of them. There was nothing in the sight line. So I'm not really sure what's causing that problem. It starts to go down. And usually, if there's something blocking it, it won't even go down because it's a fairly new garage door opener. It was just installed maybe a year or two ago. So I'm not really sure what is causing that problem. Does anybody have any ideas? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do we have any ideas on what might be causing the garage door not to go shut every time that the button is punched? A very odd set of circumstances, to be sure. Well, at least a very odd set of circumstances for me. How about this weather? I don't watch the weather report very often because, you know, long-term projections in the weather I'm not really sure about. But I was watching the weather report last night, and they said that on the first day of October, which I believe is next Tuesday, that it's going to be 90 degrees. I think maybe we've all forgotten, because time is moving by so fast, that we will be in the month of October next Tuesday, and it's projected to be 90 degrees on Tuesday, which the weatherman said last night was a record-breaking temperature. And then on Wednesday, October the 2nd, it's supposed to be 88 degrees, which is also supposed to be a record-breaking temperature. So I don't think it's going to get cold anytime soon, certainly not in the next week or so, and we're going to have temperatures overnight in the 60s. I think one night in the high 60s, 67 degrees. So these air conditioners, I think, will continue to run, and the heaters will continue to get a break. People are going to have pretty good heating bills for the month of September and October this year, as it's not very cold yet. I don't even think I've had my heater on at any point this year. So There you go. That's the story this morning on the weather. 740-383-9944. Does anybody got anything they want to say this morning? I know we've had some calls this week. A lady called the other day and wanted to talk about downtown Marion. And I believe a home health nurse, she said, had come in as she was about to do that. And it was nearing the end of the program. And we have not gotten her call back in to share her memories of downtown Marion. So if she's out there listening, she can give us a call at 740-383-9944. Also, I've had some people call, or I've met some people out in the community who said they have some memories of the old downtown Marion. And also of Marilyn Meskey. Now, there is a person who we have never really done a show on. Now, this is kind of an interesting topic this morning. And if you have anything on this, give me a call, 740-383-9944. Marilyn Meskey was Miss America, and I believe she's the only Miss America to ever come from Marion. And I think she was a two-time Miss Ohio, which I don't believe we've ever had a two-time Miss Ohio from Marion either. But Marilyn Meskey's an interesting person because this was all going on right after the President Harding days. President Harding died in office in 1923, and I believe Marilyn Meskey became Miss America either in the 30s or the 40s. Probably, I don't know when Marilyn Meskey became Miss America, but I'm thinking late 30s or early 40s. And this all came from Marion. So in the course of 20 years, Marion had a president, and they also had a Miss America. Marion, not Ohio, not cosmopolitan states in Ohio, as they say. I guess they would be considered Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati, maybe Dayton, Akron. But little old Marion, Ohio, in the course of a 20-year span in the early 1900s, had a president from here as well as a Miss America, which are all votes. Of course, president voted in by the popular vote, but Miss America, you know, that's talent. You're voted on by people who certainly don't live in Marion, Ohio. Now, back in those days, I don't know if Miss America was on, I mean, there was no television, so I don't know if it was broadcast on the radio or if it was just something that was covered in newspapers. Does anybody remember back in those days, or have maybe heard from your mom or your dad or your grandma or your grandpa or your aunt or your uncle, about the days of Marilyn Meskey being Miss America? Does anybody remember what the feeling was back here in Marion, Ohio about it? Was it broadcast on radio? There could be some people out there living who were around in this time. I know George Kasotis, who was on with Charlie yesterday, learned to dance from Marilyn Meskey, and Martha Douse, the queen of dance here for 76 years, in Marion. I know she learned to dance from Marilyn Meskey. So, you know, there are people who knew her, and there are people who were around in the time that she was really making her name known as Miss America. But she kind of faded off into obscurity after she became Miss America. I know she married a gentleman and I believe moved to Florida. I know she came back a couple times. I think she was the Grand Marshal of the Popcorn Parade at one point. But did anybody ever have a run-in with Marilyn Meskey, the Miss America from Marion? I thought that'd be an interesting topic this morning. 740-383-9944. And another topic I thought that would be of interest this morning is the important people in Marion, Ohio. Now, I believe everybody's important, no matter what you do. If everybody wasn't doing what they needed to be done, doing, we would not be able to get anything done. But does anybody remember the people who owned businesses in Marion? Of course, we've talked about Bob Mason, who owned the radio station, talking about Marilyn Meskey, who was Miss America, certainly Warren Harding, but I doubt anybody's left who knew him, but he owned the newspaper. And there were a lot of people, like the Isley family. We've talked a little bit about them on this program. We learned that the Schwartz family used to own the smorgasbord. We had Dorothy, who ran the Fair Park Sundries and owned that. Joe Manasi, who had, well, a lot of people in the Manasi family who had these little stores around town. There were a lot of people who owned restaurants like George Kasotis and George Turoff. And there were a lot of just business people, good, solid business people in the Marion area. Or is there a character in Marion history that sticks out in your mind? Give me a call. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, yesterday we did find out that Gallagher's Drugstore, which is how I'd been pronouncing it all week from downtown Marion, was apparently Gallagher's, not Gallagher's. So I don't know if there was a Mr. Gallagher or not. Does anybody remember if there was a Mr. Gallagher? Or if not, I know there were a lot of people out there listening who went to Gallagher's Drugstore. Is there anybody out there listening who knows who ran that? Who was the boss? Who made the decisions at Gallagher's Drugstore down here in Marion, downtown Marion? Now, we did talk about Mr. Snow, who owned Snow's Racket Store, so we know there was a person involved there. And I still have never got any stories, though, on Dorothy. I cannot remember her last name. It just seems like it began with an N, who ran the Fair Park Sundries over in Fair Park, that short little strip mall there, with the computer corner, I believe, is still on the end, and that's where Fair Park Sundries was for so many years. Now, I guess the question is, maybe not a newer or know something about her, but does anybody remember just seeing Dorothy? Or am I the only person who saw this woman for the 30 years she was there in Fair Park? I guess that would have been the 60s to the 90s, to be honest. That would have been when she was in business over there. And I do believe there was a pharmacist in there who worked with her to help run that particular operation. Does anybody remember that? Did anybody get their prescriptions filled over at the Fair Park Sundries? All interesting questions. Or is there anything on your mind this morning that you would like to talk about? Give me a call. Phone lines are open. 28 coming up on 29 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. You're listening to WWGH Radio. Also do want to remind you, coming up later on today, we've got the Charlie Evers Show from 10 a.m. till 12 noon today. A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble from 12:15 to 1 p.m. And the Adam the Computer Guy Show from 2:10 to 3 p.m. today. So you don't want to miss any of those programs for love nor money. The programming here on WWGH Radio is second to none. Now, we can continue to talk about a lot of the other things as well that were of interest here in Marion. The Christmas parades, the Halloween parades, Santa Claus being brought in by helicopter to the Southland Mall, the Blizzard of 78. We've talked a lot about the Blizzard of 78. The old smorgasbord restaurant, and I did get a recipe for bread pudding yesterday, and I appreciate that quite a bit. We still have not got the backstory, though, on the everything sauce that went on the hot dog. Now, earlier in the week, we did get a call from a person who said just north of Stewart's Root Beer on North Main Street that there used to be a foot-long hot dog stand. Now, was that where the people who had the everything sauce operated? Does anybody remember? Does anybody remember the everything sauce in general? Or does anybody remember that foot-long hot dog stand that was on North Main Street just north of Stewart's Root Beer? Give me a ring, 740-383-9944. Now, remember, the everything sauce, the recipe as it was ketchup and mustard and a little bit of sugar and onion. But for years, that recipe was not known. And I guess it's kind of a concoction that you really can't measure out. You just kind of have to make it and hope you get kind of close to what it's supposed to taste like. But all these years later, there's not too many people around who remembers what it was supposed to taste like. So I guess at this point you have to know somebody who knew what it was supposed to taste like to find out if you've made it right. But there are a few of those people left. So does anybody remember where the everything sauce was served on a hot dog in Marion? Or does anybody remember the foot-long hot dog stand that was just north of Stewart's Root Beer here in Marion? Or, you know, another question that I had was, if you were going to go out on a Saturday night, because I know that a lot of families and young high school kids used to go out on Saturday nights back at that particular time, where would you go? What type of restaurants would you frequent? What kind of stores would the kids go to? Because we know kind of where the parents would go. They were going to places like Klein's and Euler's and Sutton and Leitner and places like that. But if you were a younger kid, was there anything for you to do? Where would you go? Also, there were a lot of things that used to come to Marion. I know circuses came to Marion. I know that monster truck shows used to come to Marion. That was very popular at one point. And they wouldn't just come at fair time. They would come throughout the year. I know Marion had a hockey team at one point. There was a baseball team here at one point. A lot of things went on over the years. Does anybody remember any of those things that were put on that people would go out and see every year? Any memories of those things that used to come to the Coliseum? And did anybody go see shows there? Now, it's kind of interesting, because one of the most interesting things to me is the Reverend Leroy Jenkins, who has since passed away, was a faith healer. Now, whether or not you believe in him, he operated out of Delaware, Ohio for most of his career, and certainly while he was becoming famous, he operated out of Delaware, Ohio. But he used to come to Marion and do shows at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, and I guess this was probably in the 60s and the 70s, due to his age. Now, I got a chance to interview Reverend Jenkins later on in his career, and that was a fascinating thing to do. But did anybody out there ever go to the revivals, I guess is what they were called, that used to be at the Marion Coliseum when Reverend Jenkins used to come to town? Now, I believe the Marion Veterans Memorial Coliseum seats something like 5,000 people. And it's my understanding that at his height, Reverend Jenkins used to fill up this place, the Reverend Leroy Jenkins. And a lot of people went there to get healed from whatever affliction they were having. Is there anybody who ever attended any of these or remember when they came to town or have any run-ins with the Reverend over the years? Because just living 20 minutes up the road, I know he used to come here quite a bit. Now, those would be interesting stories to hear. Does anybody remember the Reverend Leroy Jenkins or any of his trips to Marion, or just have anything to say about him in general? Because he was certainly kind of a lightning rod for controversy for so many years of his life. And I believe his mother at one point became a faith healer. I think I remember talking to him about that she kind of got into the family business at one point. So does anybody remember the Reverend Leroy Jenkins, who operated out of Delaware, Ohio, who used to come to Marion quite a bit? Any memories of him? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Memories of the Reverend Leroy Jenkins and his exploits in Marion, or his exploits throughout the state of Ohio. Maybe there are some people from Marion who traveled to Delaware, to his little compound down there, and did what they needed to do. Did anybody from Marion ever go down there? Did you ever hear of that? It's kind of fascinating. You know, it's also fascinating to me that I believe it's the White Lily Chapel in Ashley, Ohio, still operates, which is perfectly fine. But I know a lot of people, every Wednesday, I think it is, goes to the White Lily Chapel in Ashley, Ohio, for the dinner that they have down there. I've never been to one. Now, I've known a lot of people who have went to those dinners, but personally, I've never been to the White Lily Chapel in Ashley, Ohio, and I've never been to one of their dinners. Is there anybody out there who has done that, who can kind of talk about what that's all about, and maybe give the times of those events? Maybe there are some people out there listening who would like to go. What I've always heard about it is people always rave about the food, how good it is, and the price, how cheap it is. So does anybody have any, or why they do this every Wednesday? Does anybody have any memories or interest or stories, Reverend Leroy Jenkins or the White Lily Chapel in Ashley, Ohio? Give me a ring, 740-383-9944. Do want to remember the Alzheimer's Crafts for a Cure Craft and Vendor Show, Crafts, Food, and Raffles, will be coming up on Saturday, October the 5th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 2730 Harding Highway West here in Marion. Alzheimer's Crafts for a Cure Craft and Vendor Show, Crafts, Food, and Raffles, Saturday, October the 5th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., 2730 Harding Highway West, here in Marion, Ohio. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
This is Martha Galassi.
Oh, good morning, Martha. How are you?
Good morning, Sir.
It's good to hear from you.
I want to tell you about Marion, Ohio. North, east, south, and west.
Go right ahead.
The north is Smith Cardinal Store, Joe Manasi's Supermarket on Silver and Cash, and that was on the southwest corner of Silver and Cash. The northeast corner of Silver and Cash is Jay's grandparents, Nick and Nancy Manasi. And we're not Italians, we're Sicilians.
Sicilians.
And Marion Baseball for Youth was run by Steve Hodge. And he did so much for the youth of Marion that he took baseball players in Pinto League. And Joe Manasi, my son, got in at age 5 and was in the Pinto League. And he went clear till he was 18 years old. And he was voted the best catcher and got a big trophy for it.
Ah, very nice. Now, Martha, we were talking yesterday about Nick's Pizza. Now, somebody had said that might have been your nephew, but that was your brother-in-law, right?
My brother-in-law, and he was born April 28, 1932. I was born May 10, 1931, and Joe Manasi, his brother, was born March 20, 1930.
Ah. Now, Martha, what do you remember about Nick's Pizza?
What?
What do you remember about Nick's Pizza?
Oh, that was my best. He was the best pizza man in Marion, Ohio. Everybody went to Nick's Pizza. He and his wife, Laura, and everybody just loved Nick's Pizza. It was across the street from the Palace Theater in the Eagles Building on the first floor.
Ah. Now, he was Sicilian, right, Martha?
Oh, it was wonderful pizza. And it was one of the first pizza shops in Marion County.
Oh, very, very nice. Now, Martha, what did Joe used to sell in his store when it was open here in Marion?
What
did Joe used to sell in his store in here in Marion?
Well, Mr. Manasi, he was born on Christmas Day. And enthusiasm, it means more Charlie. And they called him Chris Menace. He came when to the United States when he was 16 years old. He told me he stopped at the Statue of Liberty and signed his name. And he came to meet his third cousin, Nick and Nancy Menace. And he fell in love with Dominica Menace, their first daughter. And Joe's parents was Dominica Menace and Natalie Menace. Isn't that something?
That is something, Martha.
And his dad started a store at 186 South Main Street. And President and Mrs. Harding bought $25 worth of groceries from Menace's Market. I was told that in August of 18 by a man that cleaned all the papers out of the Harding home. Isn't that neat?
That is very neat, Martha. My goodness. So President Harding shopped at the Menace Market.
Yes.
Now,
yes, and Joe Menace helped his dad run the market. I met Joe when he was 13 and I was 12. I lived at 197 South Prospect Street. I walked across the South Prospect, went through the alley, and got groceries for my mother at Menace's. And that's how I met Joe.
My goodness. Well, Martha, that's a great story. Hey, Martha, I thank you for calling in this morning. Thank you for listening.
Well, I wouldn't miss WGH Radio.
Well, thank you, Martha. You have a great day.
Sorry, thanks for what you said. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The one and only Martha Dowse Menace, the Queen of Dance in Marion County, reigning now for 76 years. How about that? Now, there's some interesting facts about Marion County. That Martha Menace's husband, the late Joe Menace, the market that was run by his parents was shopped at by President and Mrs. Harding. How about that? Give me a call if you have any memories, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you have any memories of shopping in these markets that were in Marion? And we did talk about Nick's Pizza earlier on in the week, and we now know that Nick's Pizza was run by Joe Menace's brother, Nick Menace, and it was right across the street from the Palace Theater down here in the old Eagles building. And obviously did very well for a very long time. One of the first pizza places here in Marion. Now, does anybody have any memories of Nick's Pizza, which I believe went on for quite a while? I believe it went on through the 80s and maybe even the 90s, because I remember for a time that Nick's daughter had taken over the business and ran it for a little bit of time here in Marion. The pizza history of Marion, which we were talking about earlier, is kind of interesting. People were sharing their memories of Angelo's Pizza, which was one of the first pizza places here in town, and also talking about Pizza Villa, which was originally owned by the Mastro family, who eventually went on to run Perkins and Michael's here in Marion. Does anybody have any memories of Michael's restaurant? Somebody brought that up earlier on in the week. And I know that was a very popular spot for a long time here in Marion. Michael's restaurant out on Delaware Avenue. I believe now that's, is it DeVita? I believe it's in that building now, but it was Michael's restaurant for a long time. And I believe we found out earlier on in the week that it used to be a Western Sizzlin'. That Western Sizzler, I can't remember which it was in the old Michael's building prior to Michael's, and that the L&K restaurant was up a little ways where the Matthews car lot is now, Matthews Honda. Now, does anybody remember when there was a Ponderosa restaurant out on Delaware Avenue. Now, I think the building's been torn down, but it was very close to where the Smith Clinic is. Does anybody remember when there was a Ponderosa restaurant that was very close to the Smith Clinic? It was a very nice restaurant from what I remember, and I don't know why they ended up tearing that down. I don't know if people needed more space there, or I really don't know. But there used to be, that was where Ponderosa was. Ponderosa was on Delaware Avenue, right there close to the Smith Clinic. And then there was a Bonanza restaurant that was out on Mount Vernon Avenue, Route 95. Now, it was where Panera Bread is now. Of course, Panera knocked down the Bonanza building and built Panera, but it used to be in that particular building. Now, does anybody remember these spots in Marion? Go ahead, caller.
The Ponderosa restaurant, the building's still standing. It's Matthew's Budget Car Lot.
Oh, is that what it is out there?
Yes, it's still there, but it's now Matthew's Budget Car Lot.
Now, it was Ponderosa was out on Delaware Avenue, and then Bonanza was out on Mount Vernon.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, wasn't there a story that one of the members of the cast of Bonanza used to own a lot of these Bonanza restaurants?
I think you're right there.
Yeah. Now, what do you remember about, in those days, Ponderosa and Bonanza? Were they good places to eat?
Yes, they were.
Yeah, they really were.
We used to go to the Ponderosa because it was so close to the hospital. And we also used to walk across the street to the L&K when it was there.
Now,
they had good food.
Yeah. Now, when you would go to the L&K, what was a good thing that you would go over there and eat? What was a good dish?
Oh, they had good soup. And especially if it was cold, they had a lot. They had a lot of good soups. But they had a lot of stuff.
Now, why do you think the L&K went under?
Oh, golly, I don't know. I suppose the older people just got tired, and the younger ones didn't want to take it on.
It was interesting how that all happened, because I know L&K was very popular, and then it seemed like one day it was just gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame, but do you remember, was there, between obviously where L&K was there another restaurant there, maybe on the CVS lot on Delaware Avenue?
Yes, it was a Chinese place.
Right. Now, before the Chinese place, wasn't there a place where you could go and get breakfast? It seemed to me like it was called something like Lawson's or something like that.
The Lawson's is where Sunoco is.
Oh, okay.
That was the Lawson's store originally.
Oh, that's right. Lawson's were kind of like what became Dairy Mart and Sunoco.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just, it seems to me like there was a breakfast place, and I know a lot of people have said Frisch's, but I don't remember it being Frisch's. Now, Frisch's was on Delaware Avenue at one point, too, wasn't
it? Yes, it was. It was where CVS is.
Yeah, it seems to me like there was another restaurant there at one point that specialized in breakfast. But I don't know. It's interesting to think about this.
I don't remember the breakfast bit, but I worked at the hospital, and we used to go across the street on, at Med Center.
Right.
And we used to go across the street to the L&K all the time when Med Center first opened.
You know, there were a lot of people who've asked me this. When Med Center first opened, they were not affiliated with Marion General Hospital.
No, they were not.
It was actually a functional hospital. People could have surgeries there and things.
Oh, absolutely. It was a very full-functioning hospital.
Yeah. Now, what was the purpose of having two hospitals in Marion?
Because they needed more space, and they worked tirelessly to get a fifth floor on the hospital, and it didn't happen. So Dr. Smith decided that they'd just open another hospital. At that time, they really needed it.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Because there was such a shortage of beds.
Now, they also had an emergency room at MedCenter, didn't they?
Absolutely. They had everything that Marion General had.
Mm. Now, why did they end up going out or merging? Or how did that all happen?
Well, that was back a few years ago, and I tried to tell the doctors at the clinic they would be sorry if they decided on that merger, and 3 years down the road afterwards, my doctor was complaining, and I looked him right in the face and said, I told you 3 years ago you would not be happy. You didn't want to merge, and you guys didn't listen.
Yeah, I just, when they first merged, didn't the emergency room go away and all that sort of thing?
Not at first, but eventually it did, and then there was the occupational therapy doctors and stuff was in the old emergency room at Med Center, and they were switching back and forth, but you couldn't use the emergency room at Med Center anymore because it was for something else.
You know, I remember my father had a back surgery at Med Center, probably would have been in the 1980s, and mm-hmm. I remember going there to see him, and you know, it just seemed like a very normal hospital. Now, when you had a surgery like that, did it just depend on where your doctor was working? Is that how the hospital was chosen?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I just remember him having a back surgery there, and now all these years later to go in there, it's kind of interesting because it's not really any kind of a hospital.
And there were some very first original surgeries that were written up in the JAMA, as they call it, that came from that hospital because they had doctors and surgeons who really were on the forefront and the cutting edge of some of the stuff that they do today.
Now, was there any that you remember that were revolutionary surgeries?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Fred and Dr. Phil both. And there was a Dr. York, who is an orthopedic surgeon, who was right on the cutting edge of stuff. Absolutely.
Mm. So they were doing things in the orthopedic field.
Absolutely. But I know Dr. Phil reattached somebody's arm that got cut off in a manure spreader. And within 10 days, he was able to move the fingers on that hand.
My gosh. Now, how did it become Smith Clinic? What was Smith about?
Well, the Smith Clinic is a separate entity and was separate from the hospital.
Oh, okay.
They were two different things.
So that was just kind of a separate clinic there?
Yes, it was separate. Uh-huh. Oh,
that's fascinating. Well, thank you for the information. That's very good.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, that's an interesting thing because does anybody else have any memories on this? 54 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. There were two hospitals here in Marion at one point, and I don't know if people do remember that. I remember it because, as I say, my father had a back surgery in the old Med Center Hospital, which is what is called Smith Clinic now, or I think they call it Marion General Hospital Outpatient Center now, but that used to be a hospital known as Med Center. And as the caller said, who worked there, a lot of really cutting-edge stuff was going on at the Med Center for many, many years. Now, does anybody out there listening have any memories of Med Center or Smith Clinic or the evolution of how that all happened? I bet that's an interesting story, and I bet people have a lot of memories of that. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 55 minutes past the hour, talking about the medical history here in Marion. Are there any doctors? Now, here's a question. Are there any doctors from yesteryear that people remember very well? I know there were a lot of doctors in this area that people loved very dearly. Are there any doctors who maybe have since going on to their reward that you remember that were just very important and very, I guess, what do you want to say? They were very influential in the Marion area. Any doctors or medical people? Some that I remember, Dr. May is still around, but I know, I think he operated out of the Med Center Hospital for a while, if I'm not mistaken. I think I remember Dr. Gupta. I think he's still around, but I think retired. And I'm not even sure if he's still in Marion anymore. I remember him being around for a long time. I think he was the doctor for the Marion Harding football team for a long time, Dr. Gupta. I remember who's some of the other doctors. There was a doctor on the tip of my tongue there who I know was very popular. But I remember I remember the pediatrician, Dr. Oppenheimer. Now, what a name that was. Now, does anybody remember Dr. Oppenheimer? Now, I think he has gone on to his reward as well. He's no longer with us. But does anybody remember Dr. Oppenheimer? He was a pediatrician here in Marion. He was a very interesting man, to say the least. Now, I don't know how many children he treated over the years. I would guess quite a bit. And there's probably some of his office staff that are still out there, because I believe he was working into the 90s. But Dr. Oppenheimer, haven't thought of that name in a long time. And then, of course, we have Dr. Schuller, who delivered me, by the way. There's a Dr. Schuller who's a surgeon, but this was Dr. Schuller, the baby doctor. And I think there were two Dr. Schullers who were baby doctors, and I think they've both gone on as well at this point. But I had a chance to interview Dr. Schuller. I think it was George Schuller. It was George and Bob, maybe. I could be totally wrong on this. But I think I was delivered by Dr. George Schuller. He delivered a lot of babies here in Marion. He was the prevalent baby doctor for a long time. What's the baby doctor called? What's a... That's terrible. Isn't that awful? I can't remember that. What's a doctor? OBGYN? Is that the baby doctor? Does anybody remember Dr. Schuller or Dr. Oppenheimer or any of these doctors? Or is there a doctor that sticks out in your mind who was a big muckety-muck here in Marion, or that you just enjoyed going to and thought was a good guy? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The telephone lines are open 58 and a half minutes past the hour on this morning here on WWGH Radio. Any doctors that stick out in your mind? Does Dr. Oppenheimer ring a bell? Dr. Schuller ring a bell? Dr. May ring a bell? I don't know if there were any doctors that were ever involved in politics. I was trying to think about that. Were there ever any doctors that got involved in the political arena? I can't remember that at all. Go ahead, caller.
Martha, that's Macy again.
Oh, good, Martha. How are you?
Dr. Jim Schuller was Dr. Dick Schuller's brother, and they delivered my son, Joey, 42475.
Oh, so it was Jim and Dick.
Jim and Dick. Jim's gone, but Dick's still alive, and he graduated with Joe Manasi in 48.
Now, I believe that it was Jim Schuller then, because I know it's the one who's passed away. Jim Schuller is the one who delivered me.
Oh, really?
I believe so.
Is his name General now, or the old one where you had your radio station?
Yeah, I think it was at Marion General, because, yeah, I would have been a few years after Joey, but Joey delivered, Jim delivered...
Marion General is 1,000 McKinley Parkway.
Right.
And my great-grandgirl twins is McKinley K.
Oh, okay.
And Emerson Joy, and they were born on my daughter's birthday. 11, 14, 15, Marilyn.
Well,
my grandmother was born 11-14-52.
Well, I appreciate that, Martha, straightening this out. We've got to go to break here, but keep listening. Thanks for calling, Martha.
I love you, Scott. You're the greatest radio man in the world.
Thank you, Martha. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
The legendary Martha Douse Manasi, Jim and Dick Schuller, that's right. And it was Jim Schuller who I interviewed who delivered me. So there you go. We're going to go to break. We'll be back.
Talk to me again. Well, you were going to talk to me again. And we'll talk about that because it's so interesting.
You know, maybe we'll do a whole show on Ed Sullivan sometime. That'd be fun.
Yeah, and have all the people talk what happened and how he says...